Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
This is not a negotiation. I'm running this team because the Reinsdorfs want me to, and I'm going to run it that I think is best.
And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
I think your play is embarrassing. The pro player thing, this is basketball.
Follow Locked On Bulls on social media. On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Pat. And on Facebook, at Facebook.com/LockedOnChiBulls.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, streaming live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls, on Instagram, at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line at 331-979-1369. Whenever you're listening to the show, wherever you're listening to this show, hit us up, all of your texts and your voicemails. We'll be doing mailbag on Wednesday, so get all of those voicemails, all of those text messages in. Matt, welcome back from the weekend. Wow, well, the road trip did not go as planned, and it was not nice to the Bulls again. The West Coast, I mean, I think we should just cancel all West Coast trips until future notice, because this, again, did not leave a good taste in our mouths. How you doing? How was the weekend for you?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? It was quite an eventful weekend. Enjoyed some St. Paddy's and birthday celebrations on Saturday that put me in a pretty tough spot on Sunday. Kendall and Mark were cracking jokes at my expense, and we were sitting there watching that Kings game. I was in rough shape. I mean, in the immortal words of Danny Glover, I'm getting too old for this shit, man.
Well, happy birthday to you. Belated birthday. I know you celebrated that yesterday. I have to start the episode, though, with a rumor that came out shortly after we published our episode on Friday, which tends to happen here. This is just a running thing that has happened since we joined Locked On Bulls, we started our podcast.
Classic.
In general. Usually news breaks right after we drop our episodes. A professional handicapper by the name of Brandon Lang, known pretty well throughout the gambling community, went on an NBC Sports Radio podcast Friday afternoon and is the first person to proclaim that Kansas coach Bill Self would be leaving Kansas after the season to take the Chicago Bulls head coaching job.
I'll throw the biggest rumor mill that I found out today from a very reliable source that Bill Self will be leaving Kansas at the end of the year to become the head coach of the Chicago Bulls. Brandon Lang is pulling an Adam Schefter, breaking that story on every radio show right now. You heard it here first. Bill Self saying, thank you, Kansas. We won 14 straight Big 12 championships. It came to an end. It's time for me to move on and go coach the Chicago Bulls. You heard that first right here from Brandon Lang, March 14th, 2019.
Wow. I mean, this Kansas team, they've certainly dealt with, they have Azubuike go down, the D'Souza eligibility issue, LeGerald Vick just leaves the team. That's some stunning news. So, all right, let's get to that game. Texas is a short dog tonight. Are you taking Texas against Kansas?
No, I think Kansas figures out a way to get it done. But it's not a game I would touch. Again, I got this from a very reliable source. I got someone that's in the network. I got this from someone who says, listen, if you think Wade Davis is the last guy that's on that wiretap, there are a lot of nervous top 25 coaches out there right now that had conversations with this gentleman. That's just the first domino to fall. It's going to be an interesting 4 or 5 months. I'm not saying Bill Self is one of them, but I'm just saying there are a lot of nervous coaches out there right now. Listen, brother, it's crooked out there. I got buddies that of 2 years ago were top 25 assistants who have moved on and in conversation with them hanging out here in Vegas when they come to town. It's get paid and it's hide the money and it goes on on levels you can't imagine. And so that's probably a game I would leave alone.
Now, when I saw this come across Twitter, I'm like, what the hell? What the hell is this? And I just want to put our stamp on it right now that I think that this idea, and I went back and listened to the audio, this is ridiculous, right? Like, this, the idea of this happening is absolutely absurd. To me, this is just, this doesn't make any sense to me. And there's a multitude of reasons why I don't think that this connection to the Bulls in general in Bill Self would make any sense at all. Give me your thoughts when you saw this. If you listened to the audio in the 3.5-4 minutes that they talked about this and he proclaimed that this would be happening, what your thoughts, and even if there is a fraction of a percent that this could be a possibility.
Yeah, I'm not buying it. I think it's just somebody trying to throw a rumor out there to get some recognition, despite him saying that, you know, it came from very reliable source. What's the name of this happy capper dude again? Brandon?
Yeah, Brandon Lang.
Brandon Lang, right. So I was not very aware of who this dude was until this rumor cropped up, because he was on somebody's NBC sports radio talk show. And most of their conversation was about, you know, what he does, which is handicapping. And I don't know why he decided to throw that in there. But so this Lang character apparently used to do some of this handicapping work for NBC Sports Chicago. He would occasionally stop by and they would do some of those kinds of segments. And just from being around the studio on Friday and then again yesterday, the general, you know, scuttlebutt around that people were talking about was, yeah, like if this dude got 2 out of 5 right on any random appearance, we would consider that like a solid performance from him. He was not very reliable, even with his handicapping, which is what he was supposed to be doing. So that being the case, I don't see any particular reason why I should trust what this dude has to say. It doesn't make sense to me from Bill Self's perspective. It seems like, yeah, there's maybe a little bit more drama than in recent years with his collegiate job, but it is still a job that has netted him, what, 12 straight conference championships, lots of, you know, deep runs in the tournament. The Bulls job right now might not be the most enticing one if you were talking about a collegiate coach finally making that. I don't know if we are still going to believe that a few months from now, but right now that's the party line.
Yeah, the only thing that I could say from this is, coming from this episode when I listened to it, in the 120 seconds that they talked about this and he dropped this bombshell on Tim Murray, who the host of the Daily Line podcast, he says, you know, coming from a reliable source, and anytime that happens, it's like, okay, you got to take this guy for his word, and how good is his word, right? Saying that Bill Self leaving to go to the Chicago Bulls, one, is okay, how do you know that he's leaving Kansas? What is your credibility to say that he's going to leave such a prestigious program? Like, he's been there for a very long time. Why would he be leaving now? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And then to go to the Bulls, like, how many jobs are going to be open in the NBA right when the season ends? Probably 4 or 5, right, Matt? Like, at least, if not half a dozen.
Mm-hmm.
Why pick the Bulls, right? And the Bulls have, like we were talking about, it would cost a pretty good chunk of change to get Bill Self to come in and coach, right? He's not going to come in and coach for a paycheck that Jim Boylan's making. Am I wrong in saying that? Probably not. So to me, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And his backing on this was talking about, and this is the first thing that I thought of when I saw this, was LSU just recently, where he got suspended. And he says on this podcast specifically that, you know, according to his sources, that he's not the only domino to fall, and he wouldn't be surprised if there's other names and other sources. And while Bill Self has been cleared by the FBI and all those investigations, new things might come out. Everybody listening right now, you guys take that for what you want to think about it, but I'm not buying it either, Matt. And, you know, Bill Self might leave Kansas at the end of the year to go to the NBA, but I'm not buying it that he's coming to the Bulls. And we've heard nothing different. Nobody else is reporting this story either, so.
Right. And I think that's the other key that you have to make note of when you're talking about, is this valid or is this nothing? is that this is the first we've heard of it. There wasn't even a whisper of Bill Self coming to the Bulls anywhere. Local media, national media, this came from nowhere. So until anyone with perhaps a bit more credibility speaks anything to this, then I'm taking it to be nothing. And who knows, the next time we see or hear someone of credibility talk about this rumor, if it does continue to gain momentum just because somebody put it out there, it very well could be someone saying, nah, I'm not buying that. This is nothing, which I think is probably going to happen.
And I mean, hey, man, like Bill Self could very well leave Kansas to go to an NBA job, but the further extension that he connected them to the Chicago Bulls makes it very weird. I'm not buying it, and he's the only dude with the source, and maybe he knows something that every single one of us doesn't know. Maybe he's the only dude with the scoop, but I just find it very, very hard to believe. So, and the other facet too is like, dude, I don't want Bill Self's archaic offense running the Chicago Bulls, and at the price tag that he's gonna want to, no thank you. Sorry, no thank you. And I can already imagine our fellow Illinois Fighting Illini alumni that listen to this show and fans of the Illini too are probably just having a mini stroke and heart attacks. I don't want anything to do with it. So I'm out. I'm out on the Bill Self train, and I don't think it's going to happen. So
yeah, and that's not to say that I don't want, and I think you would agree with this also, that I don't want the Bulls to explore options outside of Boylan this offseason. I absolutely do. I hope that they do, and we'll see what comes from that. And right now, of course, down the stretch of the season, while they still have games to play, they are being very vocally supportive of Jim. But let's remember that they were also very vocally supportive of Fred. I think there's maybe a greater chance that all of this talk supporting Boylan has more credence because it is Paxson who is really a big fan of Jim Boylan, as opposed to Fred was Gar's guy. And while there's all sorts of confusion among the fan base as to who does what job and who has what power, it is 100% known that John Paxson has a bigger say than Gar. So if John Paxson is the one who does want Jim Boylan to stick around and Michael and Jerry are cool with that, then we might actually see that happen. But for the love of God, even if that's what you're leaning on and that's the decision that you think you're going to make is to bring Jim back, do your due diligence, do your job, and go out there and see if there's a better fit and a better candidate who's interested in the job.
I don't want anything to do with him, dude. Don't want anything to do with it. So before we get to the despairing weekend that we saw with the Chicago Bulls, the NCAA tournament is just a few days away. I should say just a day away. We've got the play-in games on Tuesday. And whether you're filling out a bracket, picking a national champion, predicting the first round upsets, or all the above, MyBookie is the perfect home for your March Madness fun. Will Zion Williamson and his teammates cement their legacy at Duke with a title? Can Virginia get past its loss to a 16 seed last year? Can Kentucky get back to the Final Four? If you know the answers, or even if you don't, MyBookie is the place to get in on the action. They have something for everyone, even you, multiple bracket guy. MyBookie has been in business for years. Their goal is to give you the best customer service in the business. And the best part is, they pay out fast when you win. I'm talking 48 hours. Bet with the best, then kick back and enjoy March Madness while you watch your picks cash. Deposit with MyBookie today with the promo code LOCKEDONNBA for 50% off sign-up bonus. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA. With MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. I know March Madness coming up the next few weeks here, it's going to overshadow anything the Bulls are doing, you know, to wrap up this season. But with that, Matt and I are going to dive into some of the prospects. The Bulls, again, with two picks, not two first-rounders, but two picks nonetheless. So we'll dive into some prospects to continue to keep your eyes on in these tournament games. So we'll do that later this week. But Matt, let's dive into these two games on the West Coast this weekend. Let's start with the Clippers game from Friday nights. This one got chippy, Matt. This got it's certainly not what I expected it to be. And let's start with the biggest headline that came out of this. Doc Rivers, Jim Boylan, both tossed out of this game after what appeared or may not have appeared to be the Clippers getting a little bit more physical than normal and Jim Boylan not appreciating it after going after some of his smaller guys on the team, mainly Archie Diacono and Shaq Harrison. What did you make of this beyond the Bulls not executing, coming out of the second half and having another atrocious third quarter?
Yeah, I mean, the Bulls' play in the first half was encouraging. They actually took a six-point lead into halftime, which I wasn't necessarily expecting because, you know, the Clippers aren't world beaters, but they're certainly a better team right now than the Bulls. You know, the Bulls were coming off their long trip out west. So I was encouraged by the play that we saw from the Bulls in the first half. And then as far as the whole Boylan and Doc stuff, I guess, you know, Boylan trying to rile up his guys on his way off the court after getting ejected didn't work because, you know, that was, to me, the most entertaining part was after Boylan and Doc both got tossed. Boylan was like, hey, come here, get his guys huddled around him and, like, was, you know, giving guys high fives and slapping butts. And they were all like, all right, yeah, we're going to go. Let's go win one for Coach. And then they, you know, proceeded to have yet another awful third quarter performance, completely broke down. As far as the ejections themselves and what happened there, I mean, I think my biggest takeaway is Jim Boylan got mad at the wrong people, because he did say in his postgame comments that after the first really hard screen suffered by Archie Diacono, he got a word from the refs at halftime saying, hey, you know, we're sorry we missed one there. We should have called that as an offensive foul. We didn't. That's our bad. And then when the second one rolled around, and this time it was Shaq Harrison taking a hard screen, and that one did get called, it was still upsetting enough to Boylan where he felt like, you know, the Clippers were like targeting some of his players, that he was upset with the refs and upset with Doc.
I spoke with the officials before the half. I said, you got to look at that moving screen. I think it was an offensive foul. They came back at half and told me it was an offensive foul and they missed it, which I appreciate, which is good officiating. And I let it go. And then they set another moving screen at half court that they call an offensive foul. And I already got a guy sitting in the locker room from the bang he took in the first half.
This is Archie Diacono, yeah, offensive
sitting
foul.
He's sitting in the locker room, can't play the second half. Now they go after my other point guard with a moving screen and I don't appreciate it, Sam. Mm. I let him know. I don't appreciate that.
You let the officials know?
How did Doc let everybody know? I don't know. I don't know how Doc got involved, but he didn't think it was a moving foul. I got no issue with Doc. I got no problem with Doc. He's fighting for his team. I'm fighting for my team. I'm worried about my group and protecting my group.
So did you think these offensive fouls were...
I saw them.
Right, but I mean, these movements were intended to injure your player?
I don't know. All I know is I got a guy sitting. I'm not gonna judge that. I got a guy sitting in the locker room who's one of my toughest guys I've ever coached, ever. 31 years of doing this. Sitting in the locker room, can't play. And then I got another guy that's one of my toughest guys I've ever coached, too, in Shaq, and gets banged around and is rubbing his shoulder and all that. I didn't like it. I like physical basketball. I like guys play hard. Didn't like it.
What did happen to Arch? You know, what was the injury that
he's just sore and banged.
And I liked Doc's comments after the game to be like, yo, man, tell your big guy, Rolo, to call out those screens.
Why were you guys ejected? What happened?
I have no idea why I was ejected. I really don't.
What did you...
honestly, I was talking to the ref. I just said, basically, that was a clean pick. And all of a sudden, I hear Boylan yelling at me, saying that we were dirty or whatever. Because I guess in the first half, we said another legal pick. And one of their guys got hurt. That's, you know, I wanted to say maybe turn around and yell at your guys and tell them to call out picks, you know, but don't yell at me. I didn't say it that nicely. And then the ref just came and threw us both out. So I don't ever talk to the other coach unless the coach talks to me. You know, that I didn't think I should have been thrown out for that. I didn't instigate anything. Yeah, Jason just decided. I think Jason, for whatever reason, just did the double tag. He didn't want to decide who was the instigator. I think he took the easy way out tonight, so that's fine. It was clearly who started it and all that, but that's fine. It happens. I don't think one coach should ever make comments about to another coach about his team and stuff. But Jimmy, he chose to do that. That's up to him. That's on him.
Because, yeah, they were hard picks. And when it happens to a little guy like Archie or Shaq, it looks really bad when you watch the replays. But guess what? That's on Rolo. And to me, that was the biggest surprise of that whole event with these screens and the coaches getting ejected, is that where was Robin Lopez, this team's trusted veteran leader, in those moments? He should have been calling out those screens.
Yeah, it was very kind of, it was kind of weird too. And it just, I don't know, to me that second one on Ryan Arcidiacono too, it was just, I don't know, it just, to me that didn't seem like it was egregious, right? Like, it just seemed like a basketball play. Like, Ryan Arcidiacono was half the size of Montrezl Harrell, right? And to me, it just seemed like a basketball play. Like, that's just the way it is. And like what you're saying is, that's the responsibility of one of the Bulls players to call that out. Like, Arch had his head up looking at the play beyond it, and he just didn't see it. You know, the play that Jim Boylan was talking about with Shaq Harrison, I get it. He got hit, and he was back in the locker room, and Jim Boylan didn't like the fact that his guys were getting beat up. Fine. And he was protecting his guys. But like you said, he was getting mad at the wrong people. Like, he should have been getting in the faces of the refs. And maybe he didn't want to do that. But at the same time, Doc Rivers was like, man, I don't know why you're yelling at me. My guys aren't. It's not like my guys were like pushing and shoving your guys or tripping them or anything like that. So I get it. Jim Boylan was standing up for his guys. But at the same time, I think the anger or the frustration was focused on the wrong people.
What's up, Locked On Bulls listeners? This is Matt here with a word from our latest sponsor, King Wipes. King Wipes will change your life. They've changed mine. I'm not kidding. I'm not a guy who uses a lot of products and toiletries. I'm pretty simple. I got a stick of deodorant. I got 2-in-1 shampoo, conditioner. I got body wash. And I got toothpaste. That's it. I'm very simple when it comes to taking care of my body and what people call manscaping these days. But I swear, King Wipes will change your life. Wipes at a new level of clean that is just not possible with dry toilet paper. Think about it. If you spill peanut butter on the counter, do you wipe it up with a dry paper towel? Or after digging in your yard, do you come in and wipe your hands with a dry napkin before eating? Every man is the king of his castle, and that includes, that's right, that porcelain throne. Make the most of your throne time with large, luxurious wipes that are biodegradable and infused with aloe vera to keep it all soft and clean. Have you ever been stuck at the stadium, on the road, at the office, or in a dingy dive bar with nothing but receipts and $30 bills? Keeping King Wipes in your pocket can really save your butt. They're available in both a 48-count home throne pouch and individually wrapped wipes for those on-the-go moments in life. King Wipes make every flush a royal flush. And our Locked On Bulls listeners right now can visit kingwipes.com and enter Locked On 15 to save 15% on all purchases. That's kingwipes.com, Locked On 15 promo code for 15% off all your purchases. They're also available for purchase on Amazon. Remember, King Wipes are for the Duke in all of us. Your throne awaits. Go take it. Yeah, and that's what Doc said afterwards. And, you know, Doc was, I think, very measured in his responses after getting ejected. And, you know, in Boylan's defense, I think he also had some things that I think were worth saying afterwards, saying he felt like the hard screens were a little overboard. And he was talking about how, you know, Archie's one of his toughest guys that he's not just on his roster right now, but one of the toughest guys he's ever coached. And he's sitting out the second half because of a screen that was so hard, you know, racked him, and he was getting looked at for maybe a concussion, but certainly also a shoulder injury, which, let's remember, Archie had issues with that shoulder earlier this season. So, Jim was unpleased about that. And then to have it happen a second time, he said, honestly, like, it reminded me of T.O. and his infamous, that's my teammate, that's my quarterback speech. Like, Boylan was definitely getting emotional, and he was saying, like, these are my guys. I'm trying to protect my guys. And it was that very sentiment that prompted Zach LaVine to offer to pay for his fines that came with the text and the ejection. I don't know how much so this young group of players respects and looks up to Boylan more so than they did, say, in mid-December after a particular loss to the Boston Celtics. But if Boylan is sticking around, if nothing else, this establishes a stronger bond between Zach and Jim, because Zach saw this as, hey, coach is sticking up for us, then that's not nothing.
No, I definitely agree with that, too. Watching Zach LaVine do that and be willing to pay for Jim Boylan's fine, I think that shows another characteristic of leadership, right? That's the second characteristic of leadership we've seen in the last week, in the last few days. You know, that's just another instance. And I get it, Zach LaVine, he got paid the bag in the summer. So to him, that's pocket change compared to what Jim Boylan's making. And sure, Jim Boylan is living a nice, lavish lifestyle, too, in comparison to everybody else. But still, I think that shows the growth in their relationship, right? I get it. Watching Jim Boylan after he leaves on that ejection, too, you talked about it. Seeing him before he leaves, he's like gathering everybody else. He's giving everybody high fives and, you know, slaps on the ass, and then he walks out. It's this sense of unity that he keeps talking about. And while we at the beginning made fun of that and said, I don't know if guys are going to buy into this. Like, are they really going to take Jim Boylan serious, and is this going to work? And I don't know if I'm for sure saying that they're all buying into this, but I mean, seeing your alpha or one of your leaders on that so-called leadership committee stepping up and saying, you know what, I'm paying for Jim Boylan's fine because he's got our backs out there when we're getting bodied and destroyed, and he's at least sticking up for us. I think that shows some growth and some collective unity, and at least, you know, buying into both sides and not just Jim Boylan asking them to do things and guys retaliating. So let's flip to the actual basketball, though, that what happened on Friday. You know, you had talked about how the Bulls had a pretty solid first half, and then everything was blown up in that third quarter. And beyond just the third quarter, too, Matt, the Bulls played three out of these four quarters, really good quarters. And it seems like this is a trend now with this Bulls team. Three out of the four quarters are really good basketball, and it's just that third quarter seems to destroy this team. What is going on? A 45-point quarter against the Clippers coming out of half is the reason why this Bulls team lost the game. What did you see in this?
Well, I mean, first of all, I would say, yes, the Bulls did win the fourth quarter. They won all quarters except the third quarter, but this game after the third quarter happened the way it did was not as close as the final score indicates. 128-121, nah. The Clippers just kind of packed it in, you know, halfway through the fourth, and the Bulls managed to make the final scoreline a little more respectable. So I'm not giving the Bulls a whole lot of credit for that fourth quarter, other than to maybe just say, hey, we're not going to give up entirely, which is what they did yesterday against the Kings, and we'll get to that in a bit. But, I mean, it was a third quarter, yet again, and guess what? Speaking of, we'll get to that in a bit, happened again against Sacramento on Sunday. As far as, you know, who showed up and who didn't, like, it's nice that we've seen this sort of, like, renaissance of Robin Lopez in the back half of this season, and it's led to a lot of people asking about whether or not the Bulls might look to re-sign him. But when Robin Lopez is your second leading scorer behind Zach LaVine, 22 points on a very efficient 9 of 12 shooting, adding 8 boards, 3 rebounds, 3 blocks, like, it's nice. It's nice when Robin Lopez is that efficient, but at the expense of Lauri Markkanen having a good game at some point, please, for the love of God. Markkanen, 3 of 8 for 10 points. 8 shots. The guy who was arguably best or second best offensive weapon got 8 shots on Friday night. How the hell is that possible?
It's becoming concerning, too. I mean, the month of March has been awful for Lauri Markkanen, and his usage percentage, man, is dipping, which is ridiculous. He's supposed to be one of your main guys, and to have his usage percentage dip is absolutely ridiculous. That is awful. Zach LaVine, too, it's like all of a sudden there's a shift now. Zach LaVine's usage percentage is over 30%. Lauri Markkanen's is dipped. Robin Lopez is all of a sudden becoming either the place where your production as far as your buckets are coming in bunches, otherwise you're not scoring at all. Like, that can't happen. And while we saw this team clicking on all cylinders in February, which is great to see, but like we said too, Otto Porter is not going to continue to shoot at a true shooting percentage of 72%. Like, that wasn't going to continue. And you saw that dip down now, and that's come back down to earth. Same thing with LaVine and Markkanen, but now we're seeing it all of a sudden go to the extreme opposite, where Markkanen isn't shooting great at all. And now it's like, is it a case of teams are adjusting to where they're clamping down on Markkanen so much that now either Boylan or Markkanen don't have a game plan on how to adjust to the way teams are focused on him? Is that the problem going on here? And should that be more of a concern than anything else, is that Boylan and Markkanen both don't have a tactic to combat what other teams are throwing at him?
I think it's certainly possible that that's the case. Boylan talked recently about how he, you know, when Markkanen was having that great stretch in February, that he was just putting the ball in his hands and letting him do more, and, you know, adding him as one of the playmakers and ball handlers on this team, and how the multi-ball handler system really opened things up for not only Lowry but also Zach. And I feel like they've just kind of gotten away from that a little bit recently. And as you alluded to with the usage percentage, like, it seems like they're trying, either based on Boylan's instructions or because he's taking it upon himself, to make Chris Dunn more of a thing down the stretch of this season. And I just do not like that, because I don't see the point. I think we have already figured out that Chris Dunn did not rise to the challenge of proving himself as this team's starting point guard moving forward. So that, I think, to me, is the most frustrating part about what we've seen from this downspell from Lowry recently. Yes, it's that, you know, the thing that we've talked about before, which is how much of it is coaching and how much of it is Lowry not being aggressive enough, demanding the ball, and saying to his teammates, hey, let me do this. I'm one of the best guys we got. Let me take the ball and let me take more shots, which I think, you know, as we've discussed, is kind of a combination of the two. But to me, you know, the X factor here is Chris Dunn, who, you know, in this game Friday night, 14 points on 5 of 12, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 turnovers. Dude had more turnovers than assists, and we're just, like, still letting this guy be one of our primary ball handlers. I don't get it.
You know, it's kind of weird. When you see Chris Dunn on the floor with these guys, it's tough, because while he is producing 40% of the Bulls' assists, at the same time, you see this problem where Zach LaVine, it seems like now he's the only one producing points. He's the only dude getting to the line. He's the only dude getting to the bucket. Robin Lopez is the only dude producing points in the paint. Lowry Markkanen seems like he's been isolated as far as how many shots he's getting up. He's struggling. Otto Porter's kind of disappeared a little bit. It's all kind of weird. And over the last 9 games, I should correct myself a little bit here, is Lowry Markkanen's usage percentage is down to 22.6%. In February, I think he was hanging around like a 26 or 27% usage, and him and Zach LaVine were about even. Zach LaVine's now all the way back up to 32% over the last 9 games in the month of March. So that's, to me, it's certainly a weird place to be at. Like, Otto Porter's down to 20% usage.
And, I mean, that's something that we did mentioned when we were chatting with Tony on No Zones earlier this week, was that, you know, Otto's arrival and immediate insertion into the starting lineup has had some effect on Lowry's usage percentage as well.
It could be a matter of Lowry's in a slump, and he does realize it. And I know he doesn't look at the box score, but now that people are making him more of aware of it, and while he won't admit it to anybody in the media, but I'm sure he is very aware of it, and now it's in his head, and maybe that's a cause for concern too, is just he's more of aware of it now. But we knew this. We knew that Lowry wasn't going to continue on the path that he was in February, right? He was playing the best month of his entire career, so we knew it was going to come back down to earth, but I didn't think it was going to be this, it wasn't going to come down this low. So I think it's a matter of adjustments, and the Bulls are playing halfway decent teams too, and teams that are fighting for playoff position. But even that, like you said, against the Clippers, like to only get 8 shots up is pretty pathetic. And to not get one of your best shooters on the floor and even let him play through some of these struggles and try to get his confidence back again is just, it's kind of worrisome coming back to the end of the season. And so, you know, the bench isn't helping them out either.
Oh, God.
I mean, anytime Lowry comes off the floor, it's a joke. It's honestly really a joke, Matt. We've said this since the trade deadline, and we've said that even before, that the bench is a joke and it's not helping the Bulls at all. And the starters are probably pretty frustrated with that too, is like, they feel like they can't even take a break when they get off the floor either, because they know any lead that they build up is just going to disappear as soon as they come off the floor.
Yeah. And I, you know, you can credit the Clippers starting five. You know, some of them had a pretty good day. Gallinari led the team with 27. He was 4-for-4 from downtown. Pat Beverly chipped in 13 and 7 assists. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's looking more and more like he's going to be a really good player in this league, he had 17, 7 and 7. But the biggest story of where the Bulls were dominated was the bench. 26 for Montrezl Harrell, who was just dunking and having a field day against this Bulls team. And then, you know, perhaps one of the greatest bench players of all time, Lou Williams, 21 points for him. So when the Bulls don't have those kinds of options on their bench, it can get ugly pretty quickly.
Let's shift over to this Kings game before I mention some stuff about the third quarter again, because I was pretty aggravated by the fact that when I was sitting down to watch this Kings game, you know, even with what happened with the Clippers game, I was fine with it. Don't really, it's like, whatever. The Clippers needed this game. They were red hot, Matt. I tweeted out the stats from our Locked On Bulls account. I said, you know, coming to this game, the Clippers had been one of the best teams in all of basketball. And it seems like the Bulls had just matched up with every team over the last 8 or 9 games. It's like, seemed like that's how it happened, is that the Bulls were playing a team and catching them at the hottest peak over the last 10 games. It's just how it's been going. The same thing with the Pistons the last weekend. They were one of the red hot teams in the NBA. Same thing with this Clippers team. So going into this Kings game, I felt like there was an opportunity for a little bit of revenge. Same thing with that Celtics back in December. They just laughed you off your floor 3 months ago. Maybe you get a little bit of revenge on their home floor. They're not playing for anything either. They were not playing for a playoff position. You go in there on their home floor and they absolutely run you off their floor yesterday afternoon. Buddy Hield, De'Aaron Fox, Harry Giles, Marvin Bagley, the whole crew. 80 points in the paint. Are we serious? The lead got as big as 37 and the Bulls were absolutely embarrassed yesterday, Matt. There's points yesterday that I felt like I needed to turn the game off, because it was exactly what I saw back in January, and I was embarrassed again with the way that the Bulls play. It seems like they gave up after the second quarter. It was just like nobody wanted to play any defense because no shots were falling.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I was saying earlier about how the Bulls had their epic collapse in the third on Friday against the Clips, but at least had enough self-respect to keep playing in the fourth quarter when the Lakers had packed it, when the Clippers had packed it in and made the final scoreline more respectable. The Bulls couldn't even manage that on Sunday. And this was against a Sacramento team, which, as you mentioned, technically not eliminated yet, but are pretty much out of reach of the eighth and final playoff spot in the West. The team that embarrassed the Bulls on their home floor. And you saw other examples of the Bulls getting some revenge this season, right? Like, they avenged the Boston loss and LaVine having another monster game against his former Minnesota team. And we've seen other instances this season where, based on the opponent at hand, the Bulls show up ready to play and have an extra amount of juice or momentum or motivation or whatever you want to call it, because they feel like some vengeance is due. And there was none of that for a Sacramento team that clowned them earlier this season. They were lifeless. I mean, it was some of the ugliest basketball I've seen all season long. Another dud performance from Lowry, which is really frustrating. This was his 8th straight game failing to score 20 or more points after having 11 straight with 20 plus. So that off the month of February, it feels like a lifetime ago now. 4 of 8. So that's the second straight game where Markkanen only takes 8 shots. This is the 5th straight game that the Bulls give up a 40 piece in the third quarter. I mean, like, there was just nothing positive to take away from that Kings game. Absolutely nothing.
You know, I'm so glad that the Kings are in the Western Conference, because I don't think I could stand watching the Bulls have to play them 4 times a year. I really can't, because I'm very jealous of De'Aaron Fox. That dude is a beast, man. And to watch him fly up the court and just zoom past and get into every spot he wants with ease, watch him do that again yesterday against the Bulls, and he did it when he was playing against the Bulls in December. But man, do the Kings have a really, really good player in De'Aaron Fox. And even in Buddy Hield, man, the Pelicans probably have buyer's remorse on that and selling on him. The Kings have a good team, man, and they run and they play fun, fast basketball. But I just... this was shades of what we saw back in January. It was shades of what we saw back even before Jim Boylan took over with Fred Hoiberg. You know, when I forgot who tweeted this out, but somebody said that this is what we saw early on in the season when shots weren't falling early, guys were hanging their heads and not playing any defense, not getting back, not playing with the same energy that we saw back in February. You know, a shot doesn't fall, nobody gets back on defense, and it's easy transition points. Or nobody wants to play any defense, nobody covers, nobody knows where they need to be, and just guys just, it seems like guys didn't care.
Yeah.
And it's embarrassing, man. You know, you get all the credit for February in the world and the win streak and beating these good teams, and then all of a sudden you go on this mini road trip and have bad third quarters. And you just get flat out embarrassed by a Kings team that, while granted they have been pretty decent this season, but you shouldn't be this bad against this Kings team. You shouldn't be at a point where you're losing 30 by 37. You shouldn't. Flat out, you shouldn't. And that's what we saw again. And it's frankly embarrassing. If for as good as this team has been playing over the last 6 weeks, this shouldn't happen.
And I think you hit the nail on the head for the biggest takeaway from that Kings game was just the complete lack of effort on defense. And there were guilty parties everywhere. It wasn't just one particular person, but Chris Dunn had a really tough day. You know, I mean, he's gotten cooked by some of the young point guards in this league recently. Trae Young, Jamal Murray, he had a tough one against him not that long ago. And then, you know, De'Aaron Fox. Like, not only did Chris Dunn fouled out against the Clippers, and, you know, trying to slow down no star caliber guards on that team, but on Sunday, like, there were times when he just let De'Aaron Fox blow right past him for either an easy layup or, you know, an easy dunk or an easy dump off past one of his bigs, and they got an easy dunk. There was another instance in transition when Archie Diakono was literally the only Bulls player on their defensive side of the court, and it was Archie playing 1-on-5 trying to slow down a Kings fast break, and you look and say, where the hell are all of his teammates? Like, it's something that we know was an issue earlier this season. Poor offensive execution, as you said, Jordan, leading to defensive breakdowns. And oh my God, like, wow, I can't imagine how frustrated Jim Boylan must have been watching that yesterday. And I don't know what it is about why he did not get those guys ready to play. And that's the other really sad part about this game yesterday. The Kings had just played a back-to-back Thursday-Friday on the East Coast and then had to travel all the way back to Sacramento, fly across the country, and then have this 3 p.m. early matinee tip-off at home. The Bulls, meanwhile, had already gotten out to the West Coast, hadn't played since their game Friday against the Clips, had a full day and a half to recover, and they were the team that were getting beat to loose balls. They were the team that looked like they had no effort and no life whatsoever. Like, some of that is on the players, and some of that is on Jim and his coaching staff, and, you know, dole out the criticism where you want, but across the board, this was just one of the more embarrassing efforts I've seen from them this season.
What's crazy, too, is both the Clippers and this Kings game, it's not like the Bulls got beat around the perimeter either.
No.
You look at the Kings, they shot 34.8%. They shot 8 for 23 from three-point line. Same thing in the Clippers game. The Clippers they don't shoot a high volume of threes either. They were 10 for 20. Wow, they shot 50% from three, which coming into that game, they were the number one team over the last 10 games shooting from three. I think it was like 44.8% from three. Great, but they don't shoot a high volume of threes. And the place that you can beat them is points in the paint. And I had talked about it last week. The Bulls were a top three in the league in points in the paint. So the thing that Jim Boylan was talking about is where we want to beat teams is points in the paint. Then you should have been dominating teams like the Clippers and the Kings this weekend right. in points in the paint.
And the Kings had, what, 80 points in the paint yesterday? 80.
That should never happen. 80. That should literally never happen.
Well, and, you know, I'm pretty sure 40 of those were Montrezl Harrell dunks. Like, come on.
And that goes back to the Kings getting 80 points in the paint. That to me just tells me nobody was getting back. And you could see that. You could literally see that. If you watched any portion of that game, you could see nobody was getting back. A shot would miss, and all five Kings were running back. And how about that one play where Ryan Arcidiakono was the only dude defending?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Matt, this gets me so worked up, and I sure as hell, I'm sure there's a lot of Bulls fans that were worked up on Sunday, too, about this, because we've doled out a lot of credit to this Bulls team and these players, Jim Boylan, whoever, over the last month for how good this team has played. And then now you've come out and lost 7 of the last 9 games. The defense has looked awful. Guys are starting to regress again, and nothing's really changing. And that's starting to piss me off again. So I don't understand it. The fast break points again. The Sacramento Kings had 30 fast break points to the Bulls 11. The points in the paint, 80 to the Bulls 56. You go to the defensive rating too, it's just a joke. And what adjustments are the Bulls making in this third quarter to try and change some of this? And I get it, the bench sucks. And that's a big, big black hole on this team. And that's hard. It's hard to do things when you don't have any type of reinforcement to help out this starting unit. And you don't want to gas these guys at the end of the season and cause an injury or something to happen. So I understand part of that. But at the same time, I don't want to see a team go out there and hang their heads because they're not knocking down shots and not get back on defense. That, to me, it cancels out anything Jim Boylan has said over these last 6 weeks about the philosophies of grit, toughness, all of that. It cancels everything out when I see games like they played yesterday. And it's frustrating, especially at this end of the season where we built up a lot of growth. And this stretch here is just, it's diminishing and it's not good. And I hate to see this now.
Yeah, I mean, it does... It does make you feel less excited about that stretch of really solid basketball in February, especially when you go back and look at some of the teams they were playing and realize that it wasn't exactly the stiffest competition when the Bulls had that streak of Lowry and LaVine both playing really well and the Bulls putting some wins together. And then, you know, all it takes is a West Coast road trip and not even against some of the better teams in the West for the Bulls to be completely dragged back down. To not drag back to Earth, but drag back to some subterranean level below Earth based on these performances. And that is disheartening. But, the flip side of that coin to me is the Bulls have started to lose some more games. They're playing the Suns tonight on the second end of a back-to-back. The Bulls have 19 wins. The Suns have 17. After, you know, getting this recent little uptick in wins themselves, the Knicks picked up a win against LeBron's Lakers with an amazing Mario Hezonja block the other day. The Cavs are still hovering at 17 wins. It is still possible for the Bulls to squeak into the top three. I know it's not the most fun thing to root for, and I know that a lot of fans would rather see positive signs from Zach and Lowry to finish out the season. But based on this kind of effort and this performance, to me, that would be as much of a reason as any to say, all right, you know what? Whatever momentum we had in February, it's gone. Let's sit Zach for the rest of the year with his sore knee. Let's, you know, keep marking his minutes to a, you know, a modest number. Let's really make as much of a decision as we can about the other, you know, external guys in the back end of Boylan's rotation as far as who's going to come back and who's not. And let's start getting ready to wrap things up. I would not be opposed to that at this point.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, what we've seen is just, it's not great. So, you know, all that positivity and all that good feelings is kind of drained away now. And I think, I mean, it doesn't take away from what they did in February at the beginning of March either. It's just, you know, the reality is like you said, it puts yourself in the best position possible. And wow, like, even still, even with all of your guys out there playing, they're still losing games. And they're still losing games badly, too. So even if they still continue to play Levine, Porter, Markkanen, Dunn, whoever, they're still losing games in handfuls. And it still looks bad. So even if they do continue to play Levine, I don't think there's too much to worry about. The only thing that I'm worried about is, you know, I still hold out hope that there is a possibility that the Bulls could switch with Cleveland or maybe even Phoenix, because Cleveland only sits a half game behind Phoenix for that two spots, 2.5 games back of that first spot from New York. The Bulls are a game and a half behind Cleveland for the third spots. They sit 4.5 games behind New York for the first spot.
But, I mean, if the Bulls schedule, man, end their little mini three-game road trip tonight with a loss to Phoenix, the Bulls will be 19-53 and Phoenix will be 18-54. Like, it's doable. The toughest part is realizing that the Bulls still have to play two more games against those hapless Knicks, and those are games where I am crying out, for the love of God, sit Zach LaVine and rest his sore knee, because it would take a lot for the Bulls to somehow manage to lose two to the Knicks. But you better believe that I want that to happen.
Yeah, this is a big game actually for the Bulls in terms of
if they want to
climb that standing. But and the Cavs play the Pistons at home tonight too, which could get weird. I mean, you hope for a Cavs win, but I don't think that's going to happen. The Cavs schedule though,
dude, they couldn't even beat the Mavs without Luka.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, the Cavs schedule is super difficult too, going to the back end of the schedule. They've got the Pistons, they got the Bucks twice, they got the Clippers twice. They've got the Warriors still. They've got the Spurs. They've got the Celtics. So it's not looking good. The Cavs are probably going to stay in the top three. The only team that looks like that we could catch at all is maybe the Suns. So I'm crossing my fingers that maybe something could happen, and the Bulls are still within reaching distance, only a game and a half behind Cleveland. So it's frustrating. The last thing that I'll leave you with, Matt, here, and leave our listeners with, is the defensive rating overall. Looking at the Bulls' defensive rating, last four games, a defensive rating of 127.1. That puts the Bulls in last. 127.1 over the last four games. That is awful. The Bulls, over their last nine games in the month of March, a 117.8. They're 29th in the NBA. The Bulls in the month of February, in 10 games, were 116.3. That was 25th. The team that was 30th, the last team in the NBA, was 118.6. So not that far off. In Jim Boylan's tenure, over 47 games, the Bulls are 113.5 defensive rating, which puts them at 28th in the league, so third worst in the NBA. The defense has been a problem all year long. Obviously, and I don't need to explain that to Bulls fans.
Simultaneously, in that same span of time, their offensive rating has plummeted.
It's just that one little stretch in February has helped them boost a little bit of confidence. But again, like, teams adjust. They watch film and they adjust on everything that the Bulls are doing. And that's what we're seeing now. Oh, shit, the Bulls are running different schemes and they're running different patterns and they're opening things up. Oh, time to adjust. Now we're seeing that adjustment in March.
Yeah, and I mean, talking about, you know, one of the bigger things from the weekend being Boylan's ejection and maybe a stronger bond being formed between Boylan and Zach. Like, to me, that's all nice and everything, but if you're John Paxson and Michael Reinsdorf, you cannot legitimize Boylan's return based solely on one impressive month.
Agreed.
Of February, when the Bulls' schedule was pretty darn easy. Like, that is not enough justification to bring him back, in my opinion.
And it was 10 games.
Not saying that that's the only solid thing that he's done, and maybe they want to cite the way that he has put a bit more discipline into this young team, and he has taught them some things that they needed to be taught, and whatever. But if you're talking about actual, you know, give us the evidence that you can coach at the NBA level, you can win at the NBA level, with a team that is young, yes, but talented and should probably have better results than they're having right now in March, you can't justify his return based on February. Because right now it's looking like that was more not like really promising signs of development, but a soft month schedule-wise where LaVine and Markkanen were just playing really well. And, you know, maybe credit goes to Boylan for that, but... Man, March is making us forget very quickly about February.
Yeah, it's tough. And look, I get it too. I get it. The bench has really screwed the Bulls too. It's tough when you got to march out Cristiano Felicio and TLC and whoever the hell else you're throwing out there to play, and it's brutal. I get it, but teams are making adjustments. What adjustments are the Bulls making? And we're not seeing it. The third quarter especially, that's where I keep harping on, because throughout the season, there has been no adjustments to that third quarter when you go into halftime. And that's what's making me so mad about this. Every team is adjusting to the Bulls in the second half, and yet the Bulls are not making any adjustments.
Right. And you know, some of that is absolutely on the head coach. Five straight games now, your team has given up 40 or more points in the third quarter. And some of those you came into halftime with a lead and playing pretty well. What the heck is going on with Jim Boylan? And what is he saying to his guys at halftime? Or what isn't he saying to them, maybe? Because this streak of five straight allowing 40 or more in the third, that is a very worrisome trend. And it absolutely has something to do with how this team adjusts or doesn't adjust, as you were saying, Jordan, halfway through these games.
Look, and this was a huge problem with Fred Hoiberg last year, too. He had a huge problem with third quarters last year and adjustments. And so this has been a Bulls rebuild problem in general, is how do the Bulls find a way to adjust at halftime? I looked at it. I looked at defensive rating and offensive rating last year, and it wasn't necessarily about the defense. Fred Hoiberg's problem was coming out of halftime last year, the Bulls couldn't knock down a bucket to save their life. It's like they put a lid on the basket last year. Their offensive rating was garbage last year. So this year, it's the Bulls can't play defense to save their life. It's like they're invisible out there. So,
And speaking of executing out of timeouts, I think maybe my favorite part of the weekend was Jim Boylan taking a timeout with 30 seconds left yesterday. Bulls down by 27, just so he could draw up a play. And whether or not the play was what happened, we saw Blakeney go ISO, because that's all he knows how to do, and get his shot blocked. So you called a timeout, down 27 with 30 seconds left in the game for that. Why the hell were we all subjected to 30 extra seconds of that? My God.
Oh, God.
Teaching moments, you know, though, right, Jordan?
This is the highs and lows that we go through in a rebuild. So I hope everybody's strapped in. We've got got two handfuls of games left, so let's strap in for the rest of the season. Bulls' third quarter defensive rating, though, in 47 games under Jim Boylan, 120.0 defensive rating puts them at 28th. The Cavs are 120.1, puts them at 29th, and the Wizards are at 120.8, which puts them 30th in the league over those 47 games. So, defense is not a thing for the Bulls, Wizards, or Cavaliers in the third quarter. So, this has been the worst. This has been the worst third quarter of the last 2 years for the Bulls since their rebuilding days back in 2000. The Bulls haven't been this bad in the third quarter since back in 2000, 2001, 2001 through 2002. I went back, and that was just, don't even go back and look at those stats. Those were just garbage too. So,
oh my God. Yeah. Don't no. look at those rosters. Jesus.
Let's hope that this game in Phoenix, I don't know what you guys are hoping for either. This is kind of a mixed bag, whether you're hoping to get a little bit closer in the Tankathon standings or you want the Bulls to execute and play a little bit better tonight. I just don't know. It's just confusing again, and just my brain's all mixed up. So,
oh, you better believe I'm rooting hard for Devin Booker tonight.
I would rather just
give us a 50 piece against this Bulls defense that we've seen recently. Devin Booker dropping 50 tonight. I'm calling it.
I don't want Devin Booker to drop 50. I want the Bulls to sit Zach LaVine tonight, give him an off night for load management. Same thing with Otto or Lowry. Maybe give Lowry some introspection tonight and let him take a night off.
Maybe you have some introspection.
Like Dave Wendell. And let him learn something from the bench. Yeah,
well, sometimes hey man, you learn by sitting.
I'm cool
too.
With that strategy too.
Let's do that tonight. And
got to get that L tonight, baby. Yeah. Got to get that L.
Speaking of the Suns, real quick before we get out of here, did you see the way that Suns Pelicans game ended this weekend?
So bizarre.
Holy crap! For anybody that doesn't know what we're talking about, the Suns came down with the last possession, about 4 seconds left. I think it was Josh Jackson who took a three, drained a three, should have got a foul call to go to the line, didn't get the foul call. The Pelicans call a timeout.
And they didn't have one.
Neither team had a timeout.
Alvin Gentry pulled a Chris Webber.
Pulled a David Blatt, except David Blatt didn't get.
Poor Gentry actually got caught.
So the game is tied at this point. Alvin Gentry calls a timeout when he doesn't have it. The refs get together, realize that neither team has a timeout. The Suns go to the line and get a technical free throw, nail the technical free throw with 1 second left. They inbound the ball and the Pelicans lose the game. So on the last possession, Suns hit a three-pointer, hit a technical free throw because the Pelicans call a timeout that they didn't have and lose the game. Oh, man, the Pelicans are just having a season, aren't they?
Yeah, who knows? Maybe that was some sneaky tanking from a team that is looking towards having to trade Anthony Davis and maybe trying to, tick up their lottery percentages by a point or two down the stretch.
Oh, man, that was it was a wild weekend in the NBA. Shout out to Lou Williams, too, for his shot. I'm glad that didn't come against the Bulls either, so... Yeah, we'll see what happens in Phoenix tonight. We've got a lot to do this week. I know March Madness coming up, first round of action, so we'll get into some prospects later this week. Drop all of your thoughts, though, at 331-979-1369. Text messages, voicemails, we want to hear from you, so hit us up, 331-979-1369. You can always drop us your tweets, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. That's going to about do it for us here on Locked On Bulls. We're live on Dash Radio. DashRadio.com and the Dash Radio app on the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.